Chapter 102. Gabrielle Ashe's taxi wasn't moving. Sitting in a roadblock near the FDR Memorial, Gabrielle looked out at the emergency vehicles in the distance and felt as if a surrealistic fog bank had settled over the city. Radio reports were coming in now that the exploded car might have contained a high-level government official. Pulling out her cell phone, she dialed the senator. He was no doubt starting to wonder what was taking Gabrielle so long. The line was busy. Gabrielle looked at the taxi's clicking meter and frowned. Some of the other cars stuck here were pulling up onto the curbs and turning around to find alternative routes. The driver looked over his shoulder. "You want to wait? Your dime." Gabrielle saw more official vehicles arriving now. "No, let's go around." The driver grunted in the affirmative and began maneuvering the awkward multi-point turn. As they bounced over the curbs, Gabrielle tried Sexton again. Still busy. Several minutes later, having made a wide loop, the taxi was traveling up C Street. Gabrielle saw the Philip A. Hart office building looming. She had intended to go straight to the senator's apartment, but with her office this close. "Pull over," she blurted to the driver. "Right there, thanks." She pointed. The car stopped. Gabrielle paid the amount on the meter and added $10. "Can you wait 10 minutes? The cabbie looked at the money and then at his watch. "Not a minute longer." Gabrielle hurried off. "I'll be out in 5. The deserted marble corridors of the Senate office building felt almost sepulchral at this hour. Gabrielle's muscles were tense as she hurried through the gauntlet of austere statues lining the third-floor entryway. Their stony eyes seemed to follow her like silent sentinels. Arriving at the main door of Senator Sexton's 5-room office suite, Gabrielle used her key card to enter. The secretarial lobby was dimly lit. Crossing through the foyer, she went down a hallway to her office. She entered, flicked on the fluorescent lights, and strode directly to her file cabinets. She had an entire file on the budgeting of NASA's Earth Observing System, including plenty of information on pods. Sexton would certainly want all the data he could possibly get on pods as soon as she told him about Harper. NASA lied about pods. As Gabrielle fingered her way through her files, her cell phone rang. "Senator?" she answered.
"No, Gabs, it's Yolanda."
Her friend's voice had an unusual edge to it.
"You still at NASA?"
"No, at the office."
"Find anything at NASA?"
"You have no idea." Gabrielle knew she couldn't tell Yolanda anything until she'd talked to Sexton. The senator would have very specific ideas about how best to handle the information.
"I'll tell you all about it after I talk to Sexton. Heading over to his place now."
Yolanda paused.
"Gabs, you know this thing you were saying about Sexton's campaign finance and the SFF?
I told you I was wrong, and
I just found out 2 of our reporters who cover the aerospace industry have been working on a similar story."
Gabrielle was surprised.
"Meaning?" "I don't know, but these guys are good, and they seem pretty convinced that Sexton is taking kickbacks from the Space Frontier Foundation. I just figured I should call you. I know I told you earlier that the idea was insane. Marjorie Tench as a source seemed spotty, but these guys of ours, I don't know. You might want to talk to them before you see the senator."
"If they're so convinced, why haven't they gone to the press?" Gabrielle sounded more defensive than she wanted to.
"They have no solid evidence. The senator apparently is good at covering his tracks."
"Most politicians are."
"There's nothing there, Yolanda. I told you the senator admitted taking SFF donations, but the gifts are all under the cap." "I know that's what he told you, Gabs. I'm not claiming to know what's true or false here. I just felt obliged to call because I told you not to trust Marjorie Tench. And now I find out people other than Tench think the senator might be on the dole. That's all."
"Who were these reporters?"
Gabrielle felt an unexpected anger simmering now.
"No names. I can set up a meeting. They're smart. They understand campaign finance law."
Yolanda hesitated.
"You know, these guys actually believe Sexton is hurting for cash. Bankrupt, even."
In the silence of her office, Gabrielle could hear Tench's raspy accusations echoing.
After Catherine died, the senator squandered the vast majority of her legacy on bad investments, personal comforts, and buying himself what appears to be certain victory in the primaries. As of 6 months ago, your candidate was broke.
Our men would love to talk to you, Yolanda said.
I bet they would, Gabrielle thought.
I'll call you back.
You sound pissed.
Never at you, Yolanda. Never at you.
Thanks. Gabrielle hung up.